If you have your Bible with you, we ask that you would turn with us to the third chapter of the book of the Philippian letter. In Philippians, I'm going to start with the first verse of the third chapter. I want to say while we're turning there, we're really thankful to have our visitors with us here today. And we want to encourage you to shake hands with them and invite them to come back. We're always glad to have people come in from other places to be with us. And we hope that God blesses you in your every endeavor. In Philippians, the Apostle Paul wrote this in approximately 60 to 64 A.D. Now, this was his second imprisonment. Before, he'd been in prison, and probably there were others, as recorded over in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. And in that chapter, it tells that Paul had cast out a demon, if you will, or had cast out a spirit of a young girl that had been used by her masters as an object of divination. In other words, as a soothsayer or a fortune teller. And whenever that he did, there went their livelihood, I suppose you'd say. And Paul was in prison because that he'd pretty well upset things as they were. But this time he was imprisoned in Rome. And he was imprisoned, and as he was in prison, his thoughts went back to the churches that he had been to. You know, as a preacher and as a pastor, you may wonder what we think about and what we do through the week, but your names and faces come up before us many times. And wherever that we're at, we try to pray, and we try to pray that God take whatever that we've said, use it to your name's honor and glory. Help them, strengthen them for what is ahead. Now, we don't know all the circumstances about Paul, but we do know that Roman prisons were not the greatest place to be. He didn't have DVDs, or he didn't have a big screen TV. In fact, history tells us that part of the sewage from Rome ran through some of the prison system, some of the dungeon. And perhaps he was chained up, was the way that they would treat their prisoners. And here it is, in most foul condition you can imagine. And as he's there, he's not saying, "Oh, woe is me. Oh, Lord, why is this happening to me?" But his thoughts go unto the church at Philippi. And so we're going to start with the first verse. We invite you to read along with us. "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, for we are the circumcision," and notice what he says here, "for we are the circumcision that worship God in the spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh more." Now listen to what he says. "I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, and as touching the law, blameless. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness, which is of the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. And yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. For I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. If correctly read, this includes the first down through the 14th verses of the third chapter of Philippians. And we might refer to other scriptures as God would lead us and direct us in this service today. But we want to take our thought from the 13th and from the 14th verse. Forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press. And that word press means I stretch every bit of my being as much as I can to the nth degree to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That would be where our thoughts are based here. And whenever we think about callings and about being called, there's several callings that the Bible speaks about today. First of all, there's the calling unto repentance. I believe in repentance. Why? Because the Bible teaches it. And because we're commanded to preach this unto the world. Now, it's to be preached to everyone. I don't care where they live, who they are, what their background is. We're to preach that to them, that all men are to repent. All individuals are to repent. And the Bible tells us over in one place in Timothy, it tells us that the scriptures tell us that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Someday, everyone in the sight of God, all around this world, is going to hear the gospel. Now, what they do with it is going to be between them and God. But I believe today that, first of all, there's the calling of repentance. What is repentance today? Paul said in one place that repentance, or starting out, he says, godly sorrow worketh repentance. Whenever that somebody sees themselves in the sight of God, the way that they truly are, that they're lost in sin and in darkness, and they can't save themselves from the penalty of sin, godly sorrow sets up within their heart. They become convicted. They become convinced that they're a sinner. And they become convinced that only Christ can save them. And that works repentance. They turn. They turn towards God completely. They leave behind their own idea about how that they're going to be saved. You know, my father, whenever that he was saved, he thought if he could take a picture of Jesus that was on the wall in our home, and he put it on the divan where that he was praying, and he would get down as close to it as he could. He had heard a preacher preach about you draw nigh unto God and he'll draw nigh unto you. And he said, you know, I found out that picture didn't do me any good. But he said, finally, whenever that I came to myself and my senses as God was directing me, he said, I found the one, as the Song of Solomon says, who loved my soul enough that he died for me. So there's a calling under repentance. And you know, joined under repentance is faith. Paul said in one place to the elders at Miletus, he said, I have not failed. I have not failed in any way to declare to both Jews and under the Greeks repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those two things go together. Did you know that today? They're graces. We can't repent without God's help. But we can't have faith without God's help also. So he doesn't leave us just kind of dangling out there with no other recourse. But we find that the Bible teaches us that these are two graces, inseparable graces. And there is a call unto that. Somebody at some time, if you're here lost, at some point in your life, you're going to feel that call. You're going to feel God's Spirit dealing with you and showing you where that you stand in His side, not in your side. So it encompasses faith. And I want to tell you that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is nothing that you can do. Only He can do it. And only He can make it open and obvious for you today. But you know, after that we're saved, that's not where that it ends. It's not saved and satisfied, but we're saved for a reason. God has saved every one of you that are here that are saved. And there's a purpose with it that goes along with it. Well, I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing in my service unto God. And I want to tell you, you can find out. All you have to do is ask Him. And He'll open the doors for you. And He will reveal to you what it is that you are to do to serve Him today. And in serving Him, we find that it still takes faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It's not something imaginary. It's not something we conjure up. It's not something that we've dreamed up. It's an actual substance. Faith, my friend, is a substance. It has some substance to it. And it's the evidence of things not seen. Have you ever prayed for something and God just kind of reveals to you that the answer is on the way? You read in the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel. And that is one of the most heart-rendering prayers, is what Daniel prayed. He prayed because of the sins of his people that had gotten them in the predicament that they were in being in bondage or being enslaved under the Babylonians and Assyrians. And while that he was praying and he was asking for wisdom and knowledge from God, an angel came unto him and revealed to him that God had already heard his prayer. I think Daniel even sensed it, even whenever that he was praying. And sometimes we can pray for something. We can pray about problems and troubles and what besets us and controversies and things like that. And the answer is already on the way. And he can give that evidence to you that God has got it under hand, under his hand and within his hand. But we walk by faith day by day. And I want to tell you something today. We're in the days that are ahead. And yes, I do believe that we are in the end times. Now, I'm not going to make a prediction that it's going to be in 2024. I'm not going to make a prediction that it's going to be in conjunction with an election that we have. But I do believe with all my heart the signs are pointing towards the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't become like those that are in the first epistle to Peter that says, well, where is the promise of his coming? Because all things continue as they are from the beginning. And he said, for this they are ignorantly aware of, and they are willingly ignorant of. And he goes back to how that God judged the world before. And how that he brought water upon the face of the earth to punish mankind for their indifference and because of their rejection of him. We are living in those kind of times, as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And we are in those end times. Now, I've got some bad news for you. No, it's not about gas going up. But if you think it's bad now, should Jesus tarry, it's going to get worse. I wish I could tell you that it'll get better. I really do. I wish I could tell you that next year at this time, we're going to be better off than what we are now. I don't know. I have no way of looking into the scriptures and telling you that it's going to be better. But I do know this, that we're to preach this gospel, we're to declare this gospel to whomsoever that it's to be directed to until that we hear him and we see him in the eastern sky. That's what we are to do. We're not to stop. And I want you to know that God will give us the grace to be able to do it. Look at the life of the Apostle Paul. And look why that he said what he did. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul had been beaten. Paul had been stoned. Paul had been shipwrecked. Paul had been in prison. And I want to tell you something. He was a jailbird. They had him on their radar. And you know the reason why? Is because that he would not relent in preaching Christ and him crucified. You know, the message that we need today in our forums and now our platforms is Jesus Christ and him crucified. I used to have a license plate that I put on my Land Rover, and it had 1 Corinthians 2 and 2. You wouldn't believe the number of people that would ask me, what is that scripture? And it gave me an opportunity to talk to them about it. It goes back to what the Apostle Paul says. He says, I've determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And you might say today, well, Brother Kofer, they're going to censor. They're going to censor Facebook, and they're going to censor this, and they're going to censor that, and they're going to try to keep us from witnessing or talking to people about God. I want to tell you something, my friend. He stood with Paul whenever that Paul stood before the emperor. He stood with Paul whenever that he stood before the judges, the magistrates. My friend, he was with Paul whenever that a Philippian jailer even came in where he was in prison and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He was with Paul. You cannot censor the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know that right now. And my friend, they may write you off on Facebook, but you get back on. Just tell them about Jesus again. Just tell them about Jesus. And someone said, tell them about Jesus on Facebook. Well, it's there. And I'll bet you there are more people that need to hear that and know about that. My friend, as time goes on, but God will give the grace. And whenever that we are confronted with these things that we're seeing come into our society, you know, someone has asked me, did you ever think you'd see some of the things take place? I said, not in my wildest imagination did I imagine. But I want you to know, my friend, when we see these things come to pass, Luke says in one place, he said, lift up your eyes and lift up your head. Your redemption's drawing nigh. And knowing that today, it gives us grace. It gives us hope. It gives us, my friend, the strength that we need to be able either to sing to people about the Lord Jesus Christ, to testify to them, to preach to them, to post something. You don't have to post it on Facebook necessarily. And I talk about that, but listen to me. Listen to me. He'll give you the grace to be able to stand in this in time. Now, the secret to it is found in our text and what we took for a text. Pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. Drawing close to him. You can't get too close to the Lord. Did you know that? There's always going to be that much room. left to draw a little bit closer, to draw a little bit closer. And if you draw close enough to the Lord, I want you to know today, my friend, that there's nothing that can get in between there and disrupt your fellowship with Him today. And it's that fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ that's going to get you through. Look at Paul whenever that he was about to be shipwrecked. He said, "The Lord stood with me on this ship as we were going into Euroclydon, the great tempest that swelled the Mediterranean Sea." And he said, "Be of good cheer, Paul. Do you know God will talk to you?" Did you know that? He talked to Paul and he said, "Be of good cheer, Paul. You've been witness unto me in Jerusalem. I'll take you on to Rome. And there'll be not one life upon this ship that will be lost and will drown or will die." And sure enough, and someone will say, "Well, the ship still broke up, but they still got to land." And I want you to know God is true under His promises. He said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." My friend, we don't need to look at the circumstances around us and wring our hands and say, "Oh, what are we going to do?" And I know I say that, and then when we get out to the parking lot, I'll be upset about some political thing. But I want you to know today, my friend, we need to draw nigh closer to Him in this day and in this time than ever before. We are living, like the song says, these are the days of Elijah. I believe that with all of my heart, that we're going to have to pray and depend upon God for everyday life, for everyday sustenance, for everyday protection, just like Elijah did. And I want you to know, my friend, don't be surprised if you're praying to Him and He sends a couple of ravens to feed you as He did Elijah. And you might say, "Preacher, that's impossible. With men, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible today." And the more we draw nigh unto God, the more we feel His presence. Have you ever felt God's presence in time of need? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. He said, "I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you." And so we find, He says, "I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Now, we've got to unburden ourselves. He said, "Leaving those things which are behind." Paul said one time, he said, "I've got a thorn in the flesh and I've asked God to remove it." And he said, every time he has said, "My grace is sufficient, my grace is sufficient, my grace is sufficient." Somebody has said, "What do you think this thing that bothered him, the thorn in his side?" I have no idea. I've heard some people say, "Well, it was because he still felt guilty about the death of Stephen that he was responsible for." But you know, I think at some point in Paul's life, he had to leave that behind. Because, you know, you get something, you bear some grudge, whatever the case might be, and you're going to be like the children of Israel, wandering for 40 years out in the wilderness. You know, just kind of, I'm going to feed this thing, and here I am, and I hope yet God still blesses me. You get in, if you want to get into the promised land of God's grace, you've got to leave some things behind that have happened. Amen? You've got to leave it behind, lay it aside, say, "God, I don't know why that happened. I don't know why that it happened to me, but help me to forget it. Help me to go on. Help me to leave behind some mistake maybe that I made. Or maybe that I said, or maybe that I did." And I want to tell you something, God will forgive. And I'm going to say this, there are times when God forgives, you've got to forgive yourself. Otherwise, you're going to wander around 40 years in that desert, thinking about all your mistakes, all that you did wrong, and you know, you'll miss the blessings of God. "Leaving those things which are behind me," is what Paul said. He said, and pressing on towards those things which are before. Brethren, we're already victors in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm not going to preach a sad sermon to you today about, oh, woe is me and woe is us, because I want you to know we got the victory in Christ Jesus. And if you don't believe it, read the book of the Revelation, where that it says what God does unto the beast, the false prophet, and eventually unto the old dragon, Satan himself. And you might say, oh, I am tempted by him so much, and he brings up my past. And just turn over to that scripture and read it to him. Preacher, your learning has made you mad. You mean literally remind him? Yes. Yes. Jesus said, Satan, get thee behind me. You mean that's what we're supposed to do? We're not to let him get an advantage upon us, to get a foot in the door. Because he looks to discourage you. He looks to discourage people that are saved, that know the power and the worth of prayer. Because when they go to prayer, whatever's on their mind is what is between them and between God. It might be somebody. It might be some act. I don't know what it is. I know what it was for me, and it took me several years to pray it out of my system. But no telling how long that it takes. You keep pressing. You keep pressing towards that mark of the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Well, how do I do that? Now, I'm just using modern terminology here. You fall in love with Jesus. You love him. You want to know more about him. Whenever I was living in Tennessee, there was a young man that would, he'd call up every day that I was there. I may have mentioned this before. And he would call up whenever that I was there. He'd ask the technicians, is the preacher there? Is he there? I want to talk to him. Well, it was never a question about his medication. Because whenever that I'd ask him, he'd say, I'm feeling fine, my blood pressure, blah, blah, blah. But he said, I got a question about this in the Bible. And I learned to take not only my pharmacy books, I learned to take this along with me. Because Nathan was he was going to call me. And you know, I never lost patience with him. Nicest young black man that I'd ever met in my life. And I never lost patience with him. And you know, he said, preacher, I just hate to bother you. But you know, when you're in love with somebody, he said, you write letters to them and you want to know more about them. He said, that's how it is with Jesus. And boy, he gave one of the sweetest testimonies that I ever heard. And he was so enraptured with wanting to know more about Jesus. Whenever I read this verse of scripture, I always think of him. I always think about, wonder what he's doing now. Wonder if somebody's helping him. But I want you to know that we're to press on. We've got nothing to go back to. When God saved your soul, you don't want to go back into sin. You can't, because you're saved eternally. Mark that on the calendar. You're saved eternally, and nothing can break that covenant with God. Not even you, not even Satan, not even a person. Nothing can break the covenant between you and God when you get saved. You, my friend, have what John 10:29 says, eternal life.
Amen.
Eternal life, not conditional eternal life, not temporary eternal life, not conditioned depending upon you. Adam couldn't keep the law of God and refused to. How would you think that God would make a plan of salvation where that it was we, the seed of Adam, how that we would be depending upon ourselves to keep it? I know that didn't come out right. But anyway, you've got eternal life. You've got nothing to go back to. All you have is to go forward. Elkton Church, all you have is to go forward. All you have is to go forward and to fulfill what Christ has saved you and called you to do. Yeah, but, well, Put that yow butt behind you. My friend, you can overcome by God's help and by God's grace. And you can be like Paul, that the goal was Christ Jesus, to attain unto the blessings of His resurrection. He said, that I may know His, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, and be made conformable unto His death. Now, what I preach today, I hope and pray to the Lord that it's not offensive, but I hope and pray today that it is the truth, and that you will take it, and that you'll meditate and pray on it today. Because the whole point of it is every one of us to get through the times that are ahead of us and are coming upon us. It's going to take pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. It's going to take that. It's not going to be, well, you know, if the economy goes, but the economy's not going to get any better. Someone said, do you know something on the stock market? We don't. No. No, it's just that things are just, I hate to tell you, but I want to tell you, there's a flip side to that. You can grow closer to the Lord. And you can walk with the Lord as the disciples, as the apostles did, as Paul did. Paul had a continual conversation going with God. Did you know that today? I believe that he knew the law and he knew all of this, but I believe for what scripture that they had in that day, I think he would go back to it and he would read and he would say, Lord, open this up to me. I believe he was praying without ceasing. That's why he says this in the book of Thessalonians. He said, pray without ceasing. You know, whenever that you're driving the car, pray to him, talk to him, you know. And don't worry about who pulls up beside you looking and wondering who you're talking to. Just pull over and introduce them to Jesus. Brother, I want to tell you, He is so real. And I'm so ashamed sometimes that I don't call on Him as much as I need to and should. But I want to encourage every one of you, call on the Lord. There's nothing on CNN to watch. There's nothing on Fox to watch. There's nothing on CBS to watch. There's no great revelation from Anderson Cooper. I can tell you that right now. And apologies to Anderson Cooper if he happens to view this on YouTube. But I want you to know, my friend, I can't bring it out of my heart the way I'd like to, because I see you benefiting from it. A close walk with the Lord, praying to Him every day, you know, taking your problems, your troubles, everything to Him. And you know, I believe that Paul had found that. And you know, I believe with all of my heart that whenever that Paul came down to the last imprisonment, and he wrote to Timothy, and he left some instructions with Timothy. And he said, the time, Timothy, of my departure is at hand. The executioner has already come this way, and I'm about to lay my head down on the block. He knew that in just a few minutes, it wasn't going to be death, but it was going to be, he was going to see his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who met him on the road to Damascus. And whenever the death comes for us, it's not death. We're just changing addresses. But we're going to see Jesus someday, the one who died. And you might say, how will I know him? Oh, you'll know him. You'll know him. Only thing man made in heaven today are those nail scars and that side that was riven. But you know, along with that, and I'll close, along with that, you're going to be there. I love the choir. I love singing. But I want to tell you, there's going to be a mass of people that are there out of every nation, out of every kindred, out of every tongue. And they're going to be singing one song. Thou art worthy to receive all honor and glory, for thou was slain, and you have redeemed us unto God. And you know something? We'll probably say something to the effect, well, I can't understand this one from Senegal, or this one from India, or this one from South America. That's quite all right. You don't need to, because they're not singing praise to you. They're singing praise to the Lamb of God. Now, that's worth pressing towards. That's worth working for today. And while that we have this opportunity, while we have this privilege that we have, let's work for them and press towards that mark. And you know, you'll hear those sweet words from him. Well done, thou great, well done, thy good and faithful servant. That's what I want to listen for. That's what I want to do. That's what I want for Elkton Church, is that you draw nigh so much to God that no controversy, nothing. What they do in Washington, yeah, so what? Nothing matters but Jesus and the preaching of the gospel. And you might say today, well, preacher, that sounds good. That sounds fine. But you know, this is the only thing worth anything in the world, is what we're doing here today, serving God and trying to warn the lost. And that's our objective, is to warn the lost, to tell them that judgment is coming, that they need to be saved. They need to repent and seek God and somehow believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, because one day he's going to be judged. He'll step down from his metatorial throne, and he won't be Savior anymore. He won't be born in a manger. He won't preach in the temples. He'll take that throne of judgment and the book within his hand, and he'll look for your name. And you might say, well, if he already knows, why is he opening up the book to look for my name? It's a silent testimony. It's a testimony to you. And you know, I hope, under the sound of my voice, lost people that hear me, I hope you never hear these words out of his mouth: depart from me, I never knew you, your name is not here. But thanks be unto God for you that have heeded the gospel. That's what it's about. Elkton, preached the gospel. Well, that's what we hired you for. No, the church preaches the gospel. Amen. You preach the gospel. You take it to the lost. You live before them so that they'll come up to you and say, boy, there's something different about you. What is it? What is it about you? And boy, that's God opening up a door and allowing you to tell your testimony of how that the Lord saved your soul. And you know, sometimes a testimony does more good than the preacher pounding it out from behind the pulpit. Everybody's got their place in all of this. But I want to encourage you, just leave those things, whatever may be hindering you. They're not worth it. Leave them behind. Reach forth to that is coming. And press towards, stretch out with all of your being to reach the goal line, to reach the end of. Stretch out with everything that is within you. Strain to please God. Press towards that mark of the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus.